Let's get this party started. Well, let's start out with some good announcements, some good news. I want to share with you that Jorge and Jasmine are expecting their first child. They call me Big Papa, huh? All right. After service today, we had a meeting the last Sunday in December with some of the singles. So if you were in that meeting the last Sunday of the month, then we're meeting in the library today at 11:45. So it's not for all the singles, but for those that were in the prior meeting, we will meet at 11:45 today. Amen? All right, turn over your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. 2020 is here. It's crazy. You know, I remember I remember back in the Y2K scare. I remember I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma at the time, leading the church, and everybody was scrambling, buying water and bread, and we thought all the computers were going to shut down and take over the world like iRobot. It was crazy. And now we're in a whole nother era, 2020. It's crazy. But you know, two things could happen this year. One is we can sit back and worry about all the things that didn't happen or all the failures from 2019. Or we can make this year the best year we've ever had in our lives so far. Amen. I don't know if you thought about that, but this could actually be the best year you ever had in your life. It all depends on how you approach and handle this year. And of course, a lot of times people make New Year's resolutions, and there's nothing wrong with that. But here's a little thing. A little girl was talking with her dad, and she said, "Dad, there are three frogs sitting on this log over this pond. And one of the frogs decides to jump in. How many frogs are left on the log?" So the dad said, "Well, two." She said, "No, Dad. There were three frogs sitting on the log, and one decided to jump in. So how many are left?" So the dad thought, "Well, if one jumps, the rest must have jumped." So he said, "None." "No, Dad. There are three frogs on the log. One frog only decided to jump." You say, "Ah." You say, "Ah." It's kind of like a New Year's resolution. Sometimes we decide to do things, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen. It's just a decision that we do. People decide to join a gym. By February, it's over. Decisions aren't always fulfilled. But what we're talking about here is not a decision, but a commitment that we need to have. A resolution that we have for our lives. Now, 2020 can hold some things for us. But back during the early days when the sailors would go out, I shared this before, but they would chart the different seas. And when they get as far as their destination was, they wouldn't continue to chart. They would just write, "Beyond here may be dragons." Because they were fearful of going beyond their limits. That's how we can be sometimes. That we can do all we can, and then we're just scared to go a little bit further. Because some of us are fearful of the unknown. 2020, we don't have a clue of what's going to happen in 2020. It may be great, it may not be great. So we can have some fear about this year. But wouldn't it be great to have a companion that you can trust the whole year? Someone you can rely on the whole year? Someone that could be there for you in good times and bad, to always pick you up. That's what Jesus wants to be for each and every one of us in 2020. That's the companion he wants to be for us. I know there's a lot of challenging situations. Some people have already told me they have family members that are being shipped off to Iraq. Some people have family members that are sick. We went to visit my in-laws in Louisiana. My father-in-law is 95 years old, so we go down there, and we're planning to spend time with him, and I will never ride in the car with him driving again ever on earth. And here's why. When a 95-year-old man comes home and says, "Can you believe they gave me my driver's license? I can't believe that. Those people are crazy." That right there, don't ride with him. If he can't believe he got his license, that means something's wrong. But we go down there to take care of him and then find out that one of my wife's aunts has only a day or two to live. So she stayed back for the funeral service. You never know what's going to happen. But it's all about your attitude, your heart, and how you perceive this upcoming year. And so I want to share with us a few things. In Hebrews chapter 13, I want to take a look at a man in the Bible that he has written about in the book of Matthew and the book of Mark. Well, let me do this first. Hebrews 13, verse 5. It says, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" You know, you and I can decide today what type of year 2020 is going to be. I'm not talking about a New Year's resolution for 2 or 3 weeks. I'm talking about the whole year full of your commitment that you're going to have in life. Now, turn over to Matthew chapter 12. I do want to share with us about this gentleman here. It's not going to be a long sermon if you participate. If you just sit there and look at me, I'm going to keep preaching until you start saying amen. Boy, look at that. Well, here's a story of a man in the Bible here, and we don't even know this guy's name. And maybe that's how you felt in 2019. People didn't even recognize you, didn't know who you were. You kind of felt alone at times, kind of felt depressed. You may have had those feelings too, but here's a guy who, when he met Jesus, his life changed not just that year, but for eternity. Because here we are reading about him, going to be inspired by him, and going to change our lives because of how his life changed. Now, we don't know a whole lot about this man, but what we do know is that he had a withered hand. His hand was shriveled up and useless. But yet, once he met Jesus, it all changed. Matthew chapter 12, verse 9. "Going on from that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, they asked him, 'Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?' He said to them, 'If any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath.' Then he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus." Now, all we know about this story, we read it, and it is a miracle, and Jesus performs a miracle on the Sabbath. But when you look a little bit further into it than that, yes, this story is about Jesus, but if you notice in verse 13, Jesus gave this man a command. And in verse 13, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." Now, this man wasn't healed because of his actions. This man was healed because of his obedience to Jesus Christ. He stretched out his hand. He did the impossible became possible because of his obedience to Jesus. His hand was shriveled and completely useless. There was nothing about this man's hand that was useful. But after he met Jesus, he went from being useless to useful. This is your story. This is my story. This is our story when we meet Jesus. And that's what Jesus wants for us, to do more, but to be more. not just let me give me a list of things to do, but this is who I want to become. Because a lot of us can have a checklist, and we can check stuff off and do. Jesus says, it's not about what you do, it's who are you going to be. Because the greatest evangelism is your life. A lot of times we think it's, let me invite people to church. Let me ask people to do it. How about you live such a way that people see a difference in you than anybody else around them? You know, we reached a lot of goals last year. We had over 30 people baptized in the Christ. We gave more money in the Bronx for special than we ever did. We had the larger attendance than we had in the Bronx in so many years. There's a lot of things we accomplished. We set some goals that we didn't reach, but we were close to them. We look at all these things and we realize, you know, we may have come to the edge. But now, God's calling us to go a little bit further. To go beyond the end line. Because some of us have reached the end and felt like, okay, if I go beyond this, there could be dragons. I don't know what's over there. It could be uncomfortable to give a dollar more contribution. Ooh, that's a little much. Because if I do that every week, that's $52 I could have had for something else. We start to look at all these different things and we get fearful there may be dragons out there. But let me tell you, there is a dragon out there and it's called Satan. And what Satan wants to do, he wants to wither you away in 2020. He may have started in 2018, 2019. He doesn't want you to leave God. He wants you to wither away. So, what does 2020 hold for you? Couple of points for us here today. I'm going to try not to preach all day, but this side got to get a little more involved for us to end this sermon. So, first of all, if you have not studied the Bible and committed your life to Jesus, amen. I want to talk to you first. If you're visiting with us, if you've been coming for a while and you still just haven't made that decision, maybe you're holding on to a relationship, you're holding on to pornography, you're holding on to just being undisciplined, I don't know what it is. I'm not judging you on that. All I'm asking you to do is make a decision to follow Jesus this year. Because Jesus is waiting for you in 2020. Jesus can heal all your sins. He can forgive your sins. He will allow you to have a good night's sleep, actually, instead of worrying about everything, worrying about what's going on, feeling all insecure and depressed. You may have challenges, but yet he will be there for you if you commit yourself to him in 2020. Now, listen to me. I'm not talking about you just get baptized. There's a lot of people that just get baptized. Baptism isn't a solution unless you yourself are a different person before the baptism occurs. Because there's a lot of people that get baptized and say, "Woo, I got baptized this year. Praise the Lord." You ain't praising him unless you're living like he's your Lord. So this isn't a baptism message. This is a message of how are you going to live in 2020. Because there's already some things you got to get rid of in your life. We spent, me and my family, the Christmas time in Louisiana. It was 70-something degrees. Pretty nice. I'm driving down there. It's like no traffic anywhere. I'm freaking out. I'm like, where are all the cars? What's going on? Did Jesus come back and take everybody away? And I'm just sitting here. I don't know what was happening. So then on our way to church today, we're driving up here, and there's a man carrying his life-size human doll on his shoulders down the street. And I said, we are back in New York. There's no reason for this grown man to be carrying this human doll down the street. But he was. Why do we say that? Because we got to understand, there's some things here that we need to live out. Not just get involved in church. Not just get wet in the waters of baptism. But your lifestyle needs to show that Jesus is Lord. Look over in Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29, verse 11.
For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. This is what God said to people that were in captivity for years. Listen, if you have not committed your life to Jesus, you are in captivity. You are a slave to the world. You are a slave to your sin. Now, I know we don't like to talk about that, and don't call me no slave. I ain't no slave to nobody. Unless you are committed to Jesus and Jesus is Lord, you are a slave to the world. You are a slave to your sin. Well, what do you mean? Well, there's things that you do you don't even realize you do. You can't even control. It's just your urge. That's called slavery. You can be a slave to your sin. In 2020, you need to make a decision to make Jesus Lord and to get out of the world and to live the way God wants you to. Well, what does that mean? That means you're going to have to get up a little bit earlier and start reading your Bible every day. That means you're going to need to go to a Bible study class or a Bible discussion group once or twice a week. Why? Well, that's a lot. I do love God. I'm not saying you don't. But I'm saying you need to stretch a little further in 2020. Don't just do what you normally have done. You're going to need to stretch. That's what Jesus told him. Stretch out your hand. He didn't say, okay, your sins are forgiven. You're all good. Go home. He had this man put forth some effort before the healing came. You're going to have to put forth some effort before the healing comes. Well, I'm at church today. Great. That's one day. You're just starting out. Good. I commend you. But it's got to be more than that. You have to stretch yourself this year if you're going to make Jesus Lord. Amen? Now, what if you've already committed your life to Christ? Well, there's something for you, too, in 2020. Jesus is waiting for you to stretch a little further. I'm already a disciple. Great. Stretch it. But what do you mean? You're going to have to stretch your faith this year. Look in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verse 1. Jesus said to his disciples, things that cause people to sin are bound to come. But woe to that person through whom they come. It would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around his neck than for you to cause one of these little ones to sin. So watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. They must have been in the Bronx when that happened, huh? You got to forgive that brother. Oh, Lord, give me more faith. He replied, you have faith as small as a mustard seed. You can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. We're going to have to stretch our faith in 2020. You say, well, what do you mean? In your personal life, do you have faith that your life is going to be different this year in 2020? See, if you're just thinking, you know what, it might be. Wait a minute, what do you mean it might be? If it's based on God, it will be. With man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. But what about your marriage? Are you going to stretch your marriage this year? But what do you mean? You know what? Your spouse may be giving you the hardest time you ever had in your life. And that's why this may be the best year of your life. Because up until now, it has been hard. But maybe up until now, you haven't had quiet times with your spouse. You haven't prayed every day with your spouse. But what if they don't want to pray? Let them sit there and you pray. What are you doing? Again, I'm taking it all back to you living the way you need to live. Because too many times we want everybody else to change. This is about you. It's about you. You said Jesus is Lord. You're a disciple of Jesus. Then make him Lord. What about your finances? I appreciate what Antoine said. But you know what? If we prioritize God, God will take care of you. What did we just read earlier? He has plans for you to prosper you, not to harm. If we give $1 more to God, are you telling me your life is coming to an end? $1, 4 quarters, 10 dimes, 20 nickels, 100 pennies. I don't know how you break it down. That's not going to end your life. But what it will do is to make you think more about giving to God. What about your relationship? You know what? You need to be more faithful this year in your relationships than ever before. And sometimes that faith calls for you to be able to just forgive people. You know the hardest thing? I was converted in Kansas City, and I left for about 15 years, other things in the ministry, leading churches, whatever. And then when they asked me to come back and lead the church there, I came back, and some people remembered me from the 15 years before I left to go lead a church. And so they remember how I left, and then when I came back, they kind of kept me in that same time frame. Instead of realizing that's 15 years that changes a person. And I did do some crazy stuff. I admit it. But getting married, having kids, father passing away, a lot of things happened that changed who I am. Sometimes the worst thing we can do is to keep somebody stuck where they are instead of having enough faith to see that they grow. Go back to a class reunion, and we're sitting there thinking, oh, I remember that's why you were like in high school, and you look different, but you act the same. Guys, we can keep people stuck in a certain place. Your marriage may feel stuck because you keep them in that same place. You've been like this for 28 years. You ain't going to never change. Well, not with that attitude. How about some encouragement to help me change? Guys, we've got to make sure we have enough faith in our relationships that our relationships can grow and prosper. Amen? Not only do we need water. Look at Eddie. Eddie. I just talked about faith. Let me move. Secondly, we need to stretch our love. Thank you, Eddie. We need to stretch our love. Look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We do have someone getting baptized today. So if you ladies can make your way on behind the stage, that would be great. So not everybody needs to get up, but just those involved in the baptism, that would be great. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. It says, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Amen. 2020 is not a year of anger and bitterness, but of forgiveness and love. The past is the past, but honestly, some of us, we can't move on into 2020 until we let some things go from 2019, 18, 17, 16, 03, 02, 01. Some of us are holding on to a lot of baggage. And a lot of that baggage is other people. Guys, you are never going to be free until you forgive. Once you forgive, they lose all that power and control over you. Because you're sitting there with so much anger and bitterness, and they ain't even thinking about you. They going on with their life. They going on doing all they're doing, enjoying everything, and you sitting there mad and sulking. Until you say, you know what, I forgive them, and if I don't ever get an apology, that's all right with me. because it's about me and God. And you know what? You're going to walk away burden-free. You're going to be able to be happy. Your life will go on. But as long as you hold on to that attitude, that bitterness, that anger, you're not really going to have the best year of your life. Now, that's not, I mean, that's spiritually speaking, but that's even common sense. How can you have the best year of your life if you're holding on to some anger about something? Now, many times we say, well, I ain't mad at them. Okay, but are you withholding your love from them? So you may not be angry and cussing them out, which you shouldn't anyway, but are you withholding your love? Do you express love to them just like you would Miss Marie if she came by? You all want to hug her and we love up on her. Is that how you treat every single person in the fellowship? See, sometimes we stuck on, I'm not mad, I have nothing against them. Fine, but does your life show you have nothing against them? Look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6. Verse 15. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So many times we forget this difference because we can point out everything wrong with everybody else. Until you forgive them, you are in jeopardy. You are in danger. You aren't standing at the foot of the cross if you hold on to anger and bitterness towards somebody else. Look at John 13, verse 21. John 13, verse 21. This is Jesus on the night he was betrayed. It said, after he had said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, I tell you the truth, one of you is going to betray me. His disciples stared at one another, at a loss to know which of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to his disciple and said, ask him which one it is. Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, Lord, who is it? You know the thing amazing about this? The person that was going to betray Jesus and have him crucified was sitting right there, and none of the disciples knew it because Jesus loved him just like he loved all the other 11 disciples. Well, how do you know that? Is that a biblical fact? Well, here's the thing. If Jesus had treated him differently, they would have said, oh, it must be Judas, because you remember what Jesus was doing to him? Remember how Jesus treated him, how he got to eat last, how he was in the back of the line, how he didn't let him be treasurer no more. Remember all the things Jesus did? But Jesus did not treat him any differently. And this is what we got to understand, guys. It's about how you live. We may say we have nothing against somebody, but does your life say something different? How open are you with your life? Can people look at you and say, well, something's going on in their marriage because I can tell how she just belittles him. I can tell because he totally just treats her like she doesn't exist. Can people look at your life and say they got issues without you even saying anything? See, a real disciple of Jesus would imitate Jesus. And Jesus loved all of them the same. Now, he knew Judas was going to betray him, but even though he knew it, he had feelings about it, he overcame those feelings with love. Too many times we let our feelings overcome our love. It's the reverse of what Jesus did. Jesus had feelings, but his love overcame them. We have feelings, and our feelings overcome our love that should be there. We got to take a look at our lives and understand it's time to change in 2020. I have got to be more loving. I've got to be like Jesus. Also, we need to stretch our commitment. Stretch our commitment. Look in Luke chapter 9, verse 57. Luke 9, verse 57. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Jesus called so many people to him, and they all made excuses for why Jesus wasn't first. What did they say? First, let me do this. First, let me do that. First, is Jesus first in your life? When you wake up in the morning, is Jesus first? Do you get up, thank you, God? Do you pray? Do you read? And maybe you're just in a hurry that day. Fine, things happen. But is that every day? That's what I'm talking about, the lifestyle. I know things occur, so things can't change day to day. But it cannot be every day that life happens and then we tag on Jesus in the end. Now, God's plan for you is to have faith, love, and commitment. We're starting Bible talks up again. We're going to talk this Wednesday at a workshop. We're going to talk about the whole year, plans, everything that's going on for the whole year. Are you already making plans to be there Wednesday? You know what? You know what? I'll just catch everything later on. I have somebody tell me what's going on. I got to stay home because the new season, the NCIS starts, and I got to watch everything that's going on. Satan's plan for 2020 is to wither you, just like this man's hand, to wither it and make it useless. If he can get you to be useless in the church, he's won. Satan wants to make you wither. Again, not take you out, but make you wither. What do you mean? He wants to turn something that kind of bothers you a little bit into a bitter root to make you angry. He wants to take a little physical pain and give it to you and make you cranky and angry. Take that pain and make you unloving. Every morning when your knees and your back hurt and your arm hurt, arthritis setting in, he wants you to come to church mad and angry at everybody around you because they're happy and healthy. He wants to take your sweet little child and turn him into Chucky. Now, it's not going to happen right away at one time. It's going to slowly wither into little Chucky. First, his hair going to get all wild. No. But you know, down in Louisiana, they always eating frog legs. I'm like, I didn't eat them, but they're eating frog legs. And so when they make the frog legs, they put them in a pot, and then they slowly turn up the heat. Because the water's hot already, you put the frog in, they jump out. So they put the frogs in there and then slowly turn up the heat so the frogs don't even realize they're cooking until it's too late. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to slowly turn up the heat and cook you till you don't even realize it's too late. You ready to leave God? You ain't coming to Bible Talk Church? You ready to leave the kingdom? This ain't right. You gone? That's what he wants to do. Slowly wither you till there's nothing left. That's his plan for you. But God says if you have faith, love, and commitment, you don't have to work. Because Jesus will be your companion. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, says the Lord. You know, we were all dead in Christ at one time. But yet, we are now raised to a whole new life. You know, being raised from the dead has never been boring. Think about it. Lazarus, I'm sure he had the time of his life once he came out that tomb. That's what God wants for each one of us in 2020, the time of our lives. Let's close out with this in Matthew chapter 12, verse 13. Matthew 12, verse 13. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. We need to know this. Jesus wants us to obey his word and be renewed into the person that he wants us to be. Jesus came and died for us, you and me, so we can be somebody different. This is what he's saying. He said, it's not about all the things you do. I've already done it all for you. Now I just need you to stretch a little further. I don't need you to just kind of make it to church around 10 o'clock. I need you to get there early. I need you to stretch it and make it happen. I don't need you to show up once a month. I need you to come every single week. I don't need you just to come and give a donation. I need you to give your first fruits, your best. I don't need you just to be here and then have all kind of things to say. I want you to be a part of the solution to whatever the problem may be. He said, I want you to stretch. I want you to go further. Don't be angry. I want you to forgive. I want you to say, you know what? I've gone as far as I can, but now I'm going to stretch a little bit further. Just a little bit further. He's not even saying you got to go twice as far. He's just saying just a little bit further. Stretch just a little bit further. And that's all I'm challenging each of us to do in 2020. Whatever your resolution may be, praise God for it. But all I'm saying is stretch. Stretch a little further. Be more faithful than what you already are. Do more than what you're already doing. Be more than what you already are. And as I look out, you guys are incredible time. Incredible service. It's great to be here. But guys, if we all stretch a little further, think of how much greater, not just the Bronx, not just the church, but the kingdom of God will be. And to God be the glory. Amen.